Welcome to iNurse Radio, brought to you by the International Nurses Association.
Hello, and welcome once again to iNurse Radio, where we feature some of the world's top experts in the field of nursing. Our goal, with the help of our guests, is to shed light on health-related topics that are important to all of us. My name is John Rivera. Thanks for making us part of your day. Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming back Nurse Rosina Malaska, who was featured on our recent iNurse Radio episode, The Dark Side of Nursing. Her experience as a critical care nurse, nurse supervisor, and a trauma critical care nurse has given her insight into today's topic, which is bullying and lateral violence in the workplace, the formula for a toxic work environment. With vast experience working in hospitals across the country, Rosina can provide insight into this situation that affects more nurses than you might think. Just some background information on Rosina. She studied at Oxford Brookes, formerly known as Oxford School of Nursing, where she received a diploma in nursing. After obtaining her degree, Rosina worked in Canadian hospitals for 10 years, focusing on various specialties while also pursuing an education in critical care nursing. This was no easy feat, especially while being a working military wife and mother. She persisted and continued with her nursing education, eventually graduating with a BSN from Chamberlain College of Nursing in 2005 and MSN from the American Sentinel University. She then went on to instruct future generations of nursing students as a BSN adjunct professor. To date, she has 20 years' experience as a critical care RN and as a trauma critical care RN over the past year. Her dedication, passion, hard work, persistence, and enthusiasm to the field of nursing has propelled her to pursue a doctorate in nurse practice. Rosina, thank you so much for joining us once again.
It's my pleasure, John. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction.
Please, it's well-earned for sure. Rosina, I did just want to jump in particular how we left off with our last conversation. With 20-plus years' experience as a nurse, would you say that bullying and lateral violence is common in the nursing profession amongst colleagues?
Absolutely. According to the statistics, I will review what we talked about the last time. A survey of 4,000 critical care nurses, 18% reported experiencing verbal abuse by another RN. 25% rated their quality of collaboration as fair or poor. 65% of nurses from a very large medical center surveyed frequently observed horizontal bullying violence from coworkers. And what's even more staggering, 60% of new RNs quit their first job within 6 months, and one in every three RN approximately consider quitting the profession altogether because of abusive or humiliating encounters. Why is this such a problem? You know, it has been going on for decades, okay? I'm not sure. Nobody knows why it's so prevalent in nursing. It happens in every field, every career field. It is not just the United States or Canada. It happens worldwide.
So unfortunate. Rosina, would you say that in regards to this being such a common occurrence, would you say that it has more to do with nurses' approaches to treating patients, or is it more of a personality issue, or what do you think?
No one seems to know why or what causes it. It's a combination of factors. Perhaps it's a combination of a stressful work environment, the job itself. Definitely personality comes into play because, you know, as a person who's experienced it multiple times in my 30-year nursing career, I can tell you stories that would make the hair stand up on the back of your head.
I bet.
It definitely has a bearing on who we are as people, because there are some people that just continually, you know, experience this sort of behavior and they learn how to handle it. They choose the high road. There's others that perform the behavior that are the problem people, that get away with it, and whether they are aware of their impact and what they do and how it affects this other person, I don't know. I really don't know. I just know it's not right. It needs to stop.
Sure.
And the only way this is going to stop is by bringing light to the situation, by discourse, by talking about it, which is what I'm going to do. It's one of my most passionate issues. And I hope that I can do something about it before I die.
Well, you're certainly well prepared to address this. I can imagine many, many better prepared. Regina, being a nurse clearly seems stressful enough, what with dealing with the daily stresses of the job. However, being a nurse and having to face lateral violence seems like just a formula for an extremely toxic environment. How do you feel nurses should address these situations when they're encountering bullying from their supervisors?
Well, that's a bit of a tricky situation. I've encountered that too. You have to know what you're dealing with, the people you're dealing with, and what's happening. There are many, many times when it is coming from a supervisor, nurse leader, director, manager, whoever that person happens to be. A lot of the times you just have to kind of accept it but not accept it, right, because you don't want to lose your job. You know, most of us are working for a reason. We have bills to pay, okay?
Of course.
So you try your best to deal with it. I always say, tell the truth. What I used to do, and I still do in large part, is I SBAR it, okay? Situation, background, assessment, recommendation. Who was present, who was not present. Document it. Documentation of every single incident that has occurred that is affecting you, that you're being blamed for. It's going to save you later on, you know, because the one thing I found out is people are quick to blame the other person. It's your fault.
True.
Okay, you know, so document it. If you can't do anything about it, protect yourself by documenting it. I've spoken to many, many nurses in my era who, you know, we've all been in nursing around the same time, 25, 30 years, 35 years, and they all do the same. Because not many can quit their job and move on to another one. Sometimes you quit your job and you move on to something you think is better, and turns out it's the same thing. So documentation, you know, tell the truth, be honest, own your part of it. You know, just because a situation happened to you doesn't mean that you're blameless. It could be the way you responded. Own your part of it, be truthful, be honest, and document it and keep it.
Excellent advice, really. And for those nurses listening in now, this is probably the time where they should take out their pen and pad and start jotting down some of this great advice. Given the nature of the field, it's not uncommon for nurses to interact with patients who aren't quite so grateful. Do you feel that nurses can also be bullied or intimidated by patient interactions they have? What should a nurse do when they're faced with a situation like that?
Absolutely. Happens all the time. It's funny you should bring that up. I had a situation 2 weeks ago. I was out of the work area for about almost 3 weeks, vacation, you know, enjoying my summer. And I went back to work all rejuvenated, and, you know, I'm getting this admission. So I go in there to take care of this patient, busy afternoon because I was working the evening shift. And, you know, walked into the room, and this patient was a complete jerk. Just basically went up one side of me and down the other. So I stood there, continued smiling, continued, you know, in an even tone. And this is where experience comes in. You know, you don't lose your cool and you pretend, right? You pretend you're in a wonderful situation. So I listened to him, you know, berate me for 10 minutes, and then I, you know, introduced myself, continued with my little spiel, and asked his permission to do his assessment. I did his head-to-toe physical assessment, walked out of the room, you know, excused myself, said I'll be back. There was another nurse present who witnessed it, and the patient's wife was there. You could see that this was not new to her. That, you know, it turns out this guy is, that's his ammo, that's how he did. Walked out to the nurse's station just shaking, because that's how hard it was to keep my cool. So the resident and the senior resident came up to me. All the nurses and the charge nurse were at the station, and the resident, senior resident, they're males, and the charge nurse was a male. said, how is he, you know? So I, you know, proceeded to tell them, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's him. That's how he is. So the charge nurse looked at me, and he says, Rosina, you are absolutely not going into that room again. I'm like, but I've got to do his admission screening, you know, fill out all the paperwork. He's like, nope, I'm going to take care of him. You're not going in there. You should not be having to deal with this kind of behavior. The resident said the same thing. The senior resident was rolling up his sleeves. He says, I'm here. I'm going to protect you. So that was a wonderful feeling. Team testosterone.
Sure.
Came to
exactly.
my aid. And, but that doesn't always happen. That does not always
right.
happen. A lot of the times you're just left to face it on your own.
How unfortunate. How unfortunate that becomes a very much an expected reality.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, it's that's one of those examples where really the team dynamic can be such a saving grace, especially
oh, yes.
a busy type of floor like that. Who do you believe are the victims amongst these nurses? I mean, clearly you're very well prepared and you can take care of yourself. But do you think younger nurses who experience the brunt of being bullied, especially with as many supervisors as they might have, or is it the older generation of nurses? Is it the residents? Is it observers?
Believe it or not, a lot of older nurses experience it, like myself. You know, why does it happen? You know, I say to myself, well, why do these things happen? Somebody either looks at you and they take a dislike to you because of the way you look, the way you speak, the way you talk, the way you walk, or it could be because you are a good nurse. You are efficient. You perform well under extreme circumstances. You still perform well. Or you've got too much education and experience in their eyes, you know. We receive it from younger nurses, middle-aged nurses, older nurses. You know, younger nurses receive it, you know, experience the same behaviors. There is no one, you know, sort of age group. It goes
either way. No one's exempt from it.
Correct. It goes either way.
Oh, boy.
It goes either way.
That's tough to hear, truly. Do you think that the stresses of being bullied can potentially prevent a nurse from providing quality care to their patients?
Absolutely. You think about it. You're going to work, and you're going to work, you know that you're going to, you know who's on the schedule, or maybe you don't.
Sure.
And for the most part, when we are facing these issues, we look at the schedule to see who we're going to work with, okay? You know you're going to go into work and you're going to be around these people that are going to make your life a misery for 12 hours. So,
unfortunately.
You know, mentally you've got to arm yourself before you get in there, okay? So you're thinking about what's happening. You're thinking about the people you're working with. You know, you're thinking, am I going to get help from them or not? If they're in charge, it's even worse. You know, you're going to get the worst assignment. So it's survival. You worry about surviving. You worry about nothing, you know, no issues happening. You're being careful. You're treading lightly. When you've got that on your mind, how can you fully give to your patient 100% of your attention, right? And then if you've got a busy assignment, you're a med-surg nurse or you're a tele nurse or you're a critical care nurse, you know, you've got something that is so pervasive and invasive. It's like a cancer. You know, you've got something that is affecting you emotionally, mentally, and physically, taking up a room that doesn't need to be doing that. You know, you may miss cues. You may miss important things going on with your patient, you know, because you've got to communicate with these people. You've got to work together. And if they are not providing that teamwork and that cohesiveness, it is going to affect you and your patient. If you've got a 500-pound patient and you need help to turn and you go up and you say, oh, you know, can I get help to turn my patient, which we have to turn our patients every 2 hours, the ones that are not able to move in the bed or whatever. And, you know, they're giving you a hard time. How can you do your work effectively? You know, think about those things.
Of course, it makes perfect sense. What comes to mind is showing up to any profession sick or under the weather, it immediately impacts performance. Only the absolute strongest of character, I think, can go unaffected or seemingly have their work be unaffected. It really speaks to the individual's ability.
Right, and even the strongest of us, it will affect you because we're humans. We're humans.
Sure.
You know, any kind of negative situation that you're in is automatically going to affect you mentally and emotionally. It's trauma. It's mental trauma. I mean, that's what bullying is. Bullying and lateral violence. Let me read a little excerpt here from my last class, which, by the way, I passed my class, so I started.
Oh, lovely.
I'm starting class number 4 today. So, as Griffin and O'Leary Kelly, 2004, noted in their classic text regarding the dark side of organizational behavior, workplace aggression is alive and well in most organizational settings today. Nurses who went into the profession thinking it would provide a compassionate group of people with whom to work with are increasingly dismayed to find that this is not always the case. You know, this makes us wonder. It's very hard to imagine a caring profession such as nursing would tolerate mobbing behavior, violence, you know, bullying, all this sort of stuff. It just boggles my mind. Here we are. We're a caring profession. I went into the profession to be a nurse, to care for other people, to make a difference in that other person's life. And here I am being treated with disrespect or being bullied or mobbed or stalked.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced stalking, too. I've experienced stalking from supervisors, you know. They
oh
know you're
goodness.
On. You're on the night shift. They come on, and they're stalking you, and you hide. I mean, I've hidden, and they're there trying to watch for you to come out so that they can attack you again with whatever. You know, it's horrible. It's a horrible situation to be in.
And again, I think it's such a positive that the light is being shown on this scenario, because this truly sounds like an issue that if a nurse, you know, if a nurse or medical professional has not had this conversation with another who's going through a similar circumstance, it can, I'm sure, and please speak to your own experiences, I'm sure it can come across at some point as, is it me? What am I doing that's creating this scenario? Am I the only one dealing with this?
My goodness, John, believe me. Over the years, I used to say, why me? Oh, my goodness, what am I doing? So how do you know that it's not you or it is you? So I surround myself with a group of professionals, friends, you know, and my friends are not just nurses. Some are nurse executives. Some are in management, and some are nurse lawyers, okay?
Oh, wonderful.
So I surround myself with them, and we talk about it. I'm like, hey, you know, this happened, whatever. What I've done over the years in order to combat this is I've taken on, I've gone to seminars and to courses. I've taken courses on communication, on conflict resolution, on, you know, all this other stuff. And, of course, you know, seeking higher education like the bachelor's and the master's degree, you are exposed to all of these classes on leadership, management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So over the years, I have, you know, taken those classes and said, okay, how do I deal with this today? What am I doing wrong? What can I do better? I always own a part of it. However,
mm-hmm.
sometimes there are times, and there's been many of those, where, you know, a nurse director friend of mine, actually she's a CNO, said to me, Rosina, it wasn't you. You have done everything correctly that you could do. Sometimes you just got to remove yourself from the situation, you know, because
well,
you've
that must
done
be so
everything.
Gratifying to hear.
Right. Think about a marriage. You're working at it. And if that other person doesn't meet you halfway, or don't take responsibility, or try to make
mm-hmm.
it work, it's never going to work.
Absolutely.
I always look at it.
It can't be a one-way
yeah.
street.
Right.
No, that's a fantastic analogy, and I think one most people can wrap their minds around pretty easily. Here's a scenario we'd love to get your opinion on. Let's say there's a nurse who observes bullying amongst her colleagues. Perhaps he or she is not experiencing it themselves, but they're privy to it. How do you feel a nurse should address that situation? Or, you know what, better yet, how would you address that situation?
So that's happened to me, too. And believe it or not, if we are witness to these toxic behaviors happening in the environment
mm-hmm.
and do nothing about it, we are also considered as part of that group that's doing it. because by doing nothing, you're basically encouraging it, correct?
Well,
however, many of us, our hands are tied. So if you speak out, you got to weigh the pros and cons. And this is what's sad with this profession.
Mm-hmm.
If you're dependent on your job to pay your bills and you speak out, guess what happens? You become part of the problem now, right? If you've got an unsupportive leadership management team, okay?
Sure.
And suddenly the spotlight shifts to you. You are seen as the person who's now causing the problem, okay? What I try to do is I judge my environment and I gauge it, okay? And then the person that's experiencing it, the victim, and I hate to use the word victim, but the person receiving the negative behavior, I go to them privately and I talk to them about it and I give them a little bit of reassurance and I give them that moral support, because it is horrible being on the receiving end, whether you're being yelled at, whether you were insulted or humiliated in front of a bunch of people, no matter what situation you are, it's upsetting. You've got to turn around and then go straight to that your patient group, your assignment, and take care of them like nothing happened. Not many of us have that mental stamina and that ability to turn around and you know.
I can't imagine so at all.
Pretend like nothing's happened. So I try to do like one-on-one support, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were to take it up higher up, which I have done, the one thing I have learned is when you're going to take something like that up higher up, have your resume ready, because guess what? You're in the firing line. I've lost jobs because of that. Yeah.
That's awful.
So, yeah, that's the reality of it. That's the reality. So have your resume ready, you know, is all I can say.
What a scary proposition. And obviously, again, it's, you know, similar in context. But so do you feel that the most appropriate approach, if one does notice lateral violence or a supervisor mistreating a nurse one working under their own team, do you feel the same thing would apply, kind of get ready for potential retribution?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are very few supervisors or CNOs I've worked with in the past that will stand up for you. And believe me, they are vivid in my memory because they did the right thing. They stood up. They stood up for us. They supported us, and they tried to do something positive. They did not concur with this type of environment. They realized these are people that I remember. One manager I had from over 25 years ago, and I had just started working in this organization. And this doctor walked into the room. It was a Sunday, and don't know what his issue was, but he basically went up one side of me and down the other. I didn't do anything. The patient was there. The patient witnessed it. I don't know what his deal was, but he was horrible and nasty. The patient recognized it, but she couldn't say anything because she was afraid. She told me afterwards, after he left, she was afraid that he would not treat her appropriately in terms of medical care. Okay.
That's when horrifying.
So he had the nerve to go complain to my manager about me. So she called me in and asked me what happened, and I told her, and I wrote it up. So what advice do I give people in writing it up? SBAR it, you know, situation, background, assessment, you know, recommendation or what you did or didn't do or whatever. I wrote it up, and she looked at me and she said, "Rosina, I believe you," and I was stunned because you know, it's a doctor and a nurse. You know that they take the size of the doctor because they rule the roost. Or so it was back over 2.5 decades ago. But she believed me because she said, "You know what, Rosina, he's done that to other people before." She went and talked to the patient privately, and, you know, that was it. So I thought, how sweet, like what a wonderful manager to support your nurse, you know.
For sure. So that a manager like that becomes almost a hero for potentially taking the brunt of some of that aggression.
Absolutely.
That's
to
say the least. And,
right.
And Rosina, I did want to touch on this also. Clearly there are at least two types of bullying. There's verbal and physical. With all of your years of experience, have you ever noticed an altercation take place between nurses? I mean, have you ever noticed anything physical?
Yes, almost one, yeah. There was one situation.
Oh. Yeah. How that can be so scary. How do you address a circumstance like that, especially, you know, again, we spoke about potential ramifications politically or professionally when stepping in and saying the right thing, doing the right thing. But when you start talking about physical altercations, then, you know, it's a completely different animal altogether. What does one do?
It happened to me in one situation a couple of years back. I was in this heated meeting, and this manager hated me for no reason. I was only there maybe 2 months or so. And, you know, I turned around and made a statement because there was no rhyme or reason. I could not find any reason why she was picking on me so badly, basically, and stalking me and everything else. So I made a statement, and she looked at me, and she rushed me, jumped up and rushed me. There were three other
You're
people
kidding.
Sitting in the room, and I got up from my chair. I was sitting facing the door with my back to the door. As she rushed me, I jumped up and sort of did a quick four steps backwards to the doorway.
Sure.
But she didn't actually connect. But, of course, guess who got, you know, who got the blame for that? It was written up in such a way that it was, yeah. So those kind of things happen. Yeah, they do.
Oh, boy. How alarming, to say the least. Wow. Recently, there was actually a new segment of nurses bullying or mistreating their patients. Did you come across this at all during your experience? As a nurse, clearly you're responsible to care for your patients. So why is it, Rosina, that you think this occurs? Could it be the stress of the job? Is it triggered by something else? Is it professionals, medical professionals carrying outside stressors in?
I think it's a combination, actually. You know, people with issues in their personal lives, you know, work life, they are unhappy about whatever it is. And they come to work and you put everything all together and it just does not make for a very good cocktail. You know.
Sure.
So, yeah,
sure.
I've seen that, and when I've seen that, I've reported it. Now, what management does about it is their thing. I've done my part to report
sure.
it. That is not acceptable, and it's not cool. That is not good, safe patient care.
Absolutely. And as an educator, I have to ask, is this topic, is bullying in the workplace something that's discussed at any point at length during nurse education, or... Is it not sufficient in your opinion?
Yes, it should be discussed more. It is touched upon.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly with my students, I always bring it up because more often than not, we're always witnessing something in the environment that speaks to it. And so they worry about how do I deal with it and what would you do? And so it makes for a very good conversation. So I always address it or always bring it up because it's prevalent. You see it in one way or another. What a lot of people don't realize is gossiping about another person is considered bullying. Discussing in a group about someone who's not there to protect themselves, that's called mobbing. So more often than not, my students witness that. They see it. It's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's not cool at all. Withholding key information when you're giving report, shift-to-shift report to that oncoming nurse, that's part of this bullying as well. There are many, many things that constitute bullying. Yeah.
It's scary that this is even a reality, that this is something that needs to be addressed. And it's not uncommon at all for colleagues, I think, in any profession to at some point disagree with one another or even struggle to work together. You know, bullying another person can be, I think, extremely disturbing in any capacity, in particular as an adult, when you know, it's said that one should know better. I have to ask this. In other professions, similar professions with interaction with the public and safety, you know, being the person in charge of another's well-being, there's psychological testing involved.
Mm-hmm.
And one would have to think that if a person comes into a circumstance with a particular issue, whether they be anger issues, the inability to work with groups of others. One would imagine that that would very easily carry over into the nursing profession. Is there any psychological testing such that the military or police or firefighters might undergo to in order to work as a nurse, or is it somewhat potluck?
Most organizations, as part of their application process, will have you complete a behavioral questionnaire. And it's kind of tricky. So, yes, there is some sort. When you get into the organization, there is a lot of what we call culture of safety training. I've mentioned that in quality of care, the first and second interviews, I believe, that we did. So, you know, some organizations, they have a zero-tolerance policy. But if you have a zero-tolerance policy and you don't have your managers and supervisors and nurse executive leaders, you know, trained in the correct behaviors, how are you going to enforce that when you've got, you know, someone sitting there telling you you did this, 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 and this, and what they're blaming you for or accusing you of, it's incorrect. Their facts are not correct. So if you're going to cop a zero-tolerance policy in your organization, make sure the people that are managing and leading are up to date on their training and on their communication and on their conflict resolution and on their transformational leadership skills, because you can't have a zero-tolerance policy and have the blame game going on. It just does
not
work. It brings us back to what we call the rhetoric practice gap.
Right.
You talk the talk, but you don't walk the walk.
Well said. Yeah, and it compounds the issue, makes a bad situation worse.
Right.
Rosina, I can only imagine our listeners, and many of our listeners are on the newer side of nursing, and I know for a fact that they kind of incorporate this into part of their ongoing education. So how would you, you know, in a nutshell, how would you recommend that one would handle a circumstance like this best, you know, kind of the abridged, you know, the abridged version perhaps of your classes? What does one do when you're experiencing it, when you're carrying that weight around, and at the same time you're still just trying to do the best job that you can do for your patients?
Right. Well, you've got to arm yourself. You have to be well prepared to deal with these issues in the environment, because whether you are a good nurse, bad nurse, or you think you're a strong nurse, when it faces you, it catches you unawares, no matter how many times you've experienced it or not experienced it. So you need to arm yourself, you know, take classes or courses in emotional intelligence, mindfulness, in how to prepare yourself to deal with those sort of situations. Surround yourself with a positive group of people that you can depend on, that you trust, that you can bounce things off, that can give you advice, you know. Those are some of the ways, and hopefully I can come back and speak a little bit more about how to combat this type of thing, because not every nurse has the ability or is able to financially quit their job and move on to a better job. You know what I'm saying? You got to learn how to deal with it. You know, so.
For sure, and it's such a sad reality, but, you know, and also I would imagine, depending on their circumstance, not every nurse would even know how to go about creating that support structure, which you know, in speaking to you, seems like very much a big part of the survival process. You know, I hate to use that term, but that seems to be appropriate.
Well, it's like your own team of. I think one of the best ways for leaders to excel and to deal, you know, the corporate leaders, is to have a group of friends where you can go and sit down and talk about stuff and bounce things off each other. I believe I was reading that in a couple of the, you know, on LinkedIn, the big, you know, hotshot leaders and that run organizations and everything else. It's the same idea. So, you know, whether you live close to them or you're on the phone, get them on the phone and have a conversation going, or get together every so often like I do.
Sure.
I fly to different places and get together with my peeps, as I call them, different groups of people. And, We have like a little retreat, and you talk about things. It keeps you straight.
Great.
It keeps you sane. You exchange ideas and you exchange information, you know.
Well, certainly everyone can use that little bit of help, you know, whenever we can get it.
It's your support system.
for sure, for sure. Yeah. Rosina, unfortunately, again, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us yet again. I would love, and I'm sure our listeners would love it just as much, if not more. We'd love to have you back, whether it's touching up and wrapping up this particular conversation or anything else that you've become privy to and witness to and expert in. So we'd absolutely love to have you return if that's possible.
Thank you. I would love to. I would love to talk about ways and things one can do to strengthen themselves, to be the best nurse you can, to give the best possible care to our patients.
I know our listeners would appreciate it. So again, thank you. Thank you so much for your time today. As always, you've been a fantastic guest and truly given us a lot of wonderful information.
Thanks, of course,
to the listeners, of course, Rosina, and thanks to the listeners as well. So until next time, this is John Rivera for iNurse Radio saying be well and bye for now.